Jesus doesn't care about my weight. He made me beautiful and wonderful in his image. He designed my body the way it is. And so that has given me so much more love and acceptance towards myself. Mm. I don't think it's wrong to want to work towards a different appearance or aesthetic.
Right.
But I think it comes down to how you treat yourself while you're working towards that.
Right. How you talk to yourself.
Yeah. I always say you can't hate yourself into a body that you love. I had times where I would not be taking care of myself. I would be truly not eating enough food, or I'd be doing workouts for hours a day that were so hard on my body. Mm. And I would see results physically, but they were never enough. But the times when I haven't struggled with body image are the times when I'm listening to what God says about me and I'm not believing the lies that are racing through my mind. I'm truly speaking the truth over myself through affirmations.
Yeah.
And it has made the biggest difference.
We believe that you are strong by design and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one strength and health authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode here on the Strong by Design podcast. Hosting today, your favorite, well, maybe not your favorite coach, actually. Might be like third. This is Coach Chris Wilson. We have lots of coaches here at Critical Bench and several hosts on the podcast. And we are continuing to have great conversations with special guests from all over this good state of Florida, but really, for that matter, all over the country and all over the world. That's the beauty of podcasting is I love the in-person ones like today, but sometimes that's just not in the cards. It's just, you can't make it happen. So to be able to still do it virtually and have great conversations is such a powerful way of connecting with people. And we hope that the listeners on the other side are feeling that these conversations are changing you in some way, making your life better, and that you're really noticing that and you're coming back for more. We try to keep it diverse here on Strong by Design. We've had so many great conversations that are more body focused or mind, certainly on the faith side. And I think we're really hitting on all three of those things quite well. And in some episodes, like today even, you kind of hit on all three at the same time, which I think is really neat. Before we start rolling with our guest today, who drove 3 hours with her husband across the state of Florida, thank you for doing that, by the way, I want to just encourage you to please hit 5 stars or leave us a review. We would love to hear from you, how this show has helped you in some way, what a past episode has done in your life, or a special guest that you really enjoyed listening to, or a topic that you'd like us to talk about. We will take requests. Just go ahead and put that in there for us, whatever platform you listen, and we will be looking for that feedback. So our special guest today, and I hope I pronounce you, I think I'll get your last name correct, Callie Jardine, correct? And then, you know, is it Guali? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you've just recently gone with the hyphenated Guali on your last name, right? Like, that's a, you guys only been married how long now?
Since April. It's technically going to, I haven't changed my last name yet. It's going to be Callie Guali, but on socials,
oh,
it's still Callie.
It is. Okay. So you're like in the middle.
The weird phase.
You're in the weird phase.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a fun phase to be in. So thank you so much for being here today. I came to know of you from your husband, who we met out in Denver when Jared and I were out there for Podcast Movement. And we happened to catch him on the final day and had a great conversation for, 30, 60 minutes. We were just standing there talking. And obviously he was gushing about you and talking about the things that you were doing and having success with. And we really thought John was terrific. And we're like, well, we'll have to connect when we get back and see if there's something we can do. And so, I mean, podcasting is a great way to learn more about what you're doing in the world, how you're helping your audience, your followers with all of these great exercise and workout videos that you've been putting out for years. And it falls right in line with what we've been doing here at Critical Bench, trying to help people through just free content, but then hopefully they are able to go a little deeper, because I'm no doubt you have other things that people can get involved with, that, you know, you're a business. You're not just a YouTuber, mm-hmm. right? So, and I want to get there and give you some love and hopefully get you some people coming your way because they listened to you and got to know you better. So often people will watch YouTube and they like what someone's doing, but they don't necessarily know. They feel like they know the person, but they only really, you know, they only know so the surface level. So I think this will hopefully give people some good insight into who you are and come to know you better, and then have even more appreciation for what you're doing with your channel and with all your platforms that are really growing. So please tell us a little bit more about who you are, where this passion for exercise, for fitness, for movement came from. I'm curious myself.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I think it's so cool how God works. The fact that John met you in Denver on the final day of a conference.
Yeah, and just kind of haphazardly, like we're sitting there like eating little snacks and Jared and I, there's like no place to sit. We're just standing room only. And then this nice guy comes walking by and we just started making small talk and then ended up talking for a while.
Yeah. It's so cool. Yeah. So cool. Yeah. So yeah, I'm Callie. I live on the other side of Florida, which is if anyone's familiar with Florida, it's near Palm Beach, kind of. It's like an hour north Palm Beach, Stuart, Florida.
Yeah.
We moved there about a year ago. I lived in Miami before, New York City, all the things. But just kind of going back a little bit about movement and fitness, I started teaching bar at a place called Pure Bar in college in 2019. And I have been into fitness for pretty much my whole life, though, because I lived in Canada as a kid and started figure skating in Canada. Oh, wow. And that became a competitive sport for me. And then if anyone's familiar with figure skating, you do a lot of training off the ice as well as on the ice.
Yeah.
So movement has just been a part of my life. I have loved exercise. I used to do little figure skating workouts in my bedroom. I remember the dying bug was my favorite exercise. I would do it all the time on the floor. So I've always loved just movement in general, getting stronger, seeing progress, and always just working on becoming a better version of myself. And it really helped a lot of my mental health in 2020. And that is when I started to see fitness as more than just an aesthetic thing to do. It also became, this also helps my mental health as well as my physical health. So that really transformed into me doing my own workout style, which blends affirmations with feel good, empowering movement. So specifically Pilates and bar is what I focus on. And that actually all began because this is a long story, but in 2019.
No, this is a podcast, right?
So the this whole is thing.
I'm like, you know, people say like, I'll give it the short. No, give me the long version.
Give me the
version.
Whole thing. Okay. Yeah. Kind of jump around sometimes when I tell stories. But anyways, when I became a fitness instructor in 2019, it sparked me to also start a blog called I'm Sweaty and I Know It. And from there, I was posting a lot about just health and wellness tips for people in college, specifically women. And that's when I started to see fitness as more than just aesthetics, like I mentioned. I had clients who were taking my classes who were probably in their 50s. And I'd ask them, what's your goal? Why do you do Pure Bar every single day? And a lot of the times it was about aesthetics. So I wanted to get more toned abs or whatever. But I had a couple of clients who they were like, this just makes me feel amazing every day. I feel so much better when I do bar. And that's when I got me thinking, oh, it's more than just about making you look good. Fitness is more than that. And so it really, really inspired me to have this new perspective on how I saw exercise. And this is a whole other thing, but I struggled a lot with body image, especially as a figure skater, because I had coaches tell me, oh, you need to lose weight if you want to compete. Oh, eat a certain way. There's a lot of that diet culture.
From a young age too, probably too, right?
Yeah.
What, 10, 11, 12 years old? Like you're got like body image feelings that probably weren't even healthy at the time, because I'm sure you were just fine, but by their standard, right? Their standard, which is obviously at a different level. How do you look on ice in like tights or a skirt?
Yeah.
You know, and that has to be incredibly hard for a young person.
It's
to kind of deal with those. Yeah, damaging on some level, right?
Because you don't know. That's your coaches are the people, the adults you trust, you look up to. So you don't know any better. And so that is how my brain was wired at a young age. I mean, women in general, it's pushed on us a lot. The diet culture, looking a certain way. And so there's already that pressure. But I found myself, even after I stopped competitive skating, I found that same thought pattern around my body, around food, continuing into my workouts and into my food choices. It was still a problem in my life, even after I stopped being a competitive athlete.
Yeah.
So it was a really transformational moment to see, okay, wait, my eyes were open. There's more to exercise aside from being stronger for a sport or looking a certain way. It comes into a more mental aspect as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really transformational.
Yeah. You know, and I've learned a lot just in recent years about how the our physical bodies impact our brain function. Like scientifically, I've learned a lot about it. I took a brain health trainer course and for months was just doing a lot of reading and a lot of studying materials and learning from other people about how our brain lights up everywhere when we move our bodies. And people who are more dormant or idle or sedentary and don't have that are really doing a disservice to their brain and the way they feel and their mood and all of these things. And from past experience, there was a period of time prior to me working for Critical Bench where I was a general manager of a fitness and health center that really serviced kind of a retirement community, a lot of tennis players and I would see, we did a lot of silver sneakers classes in our group exercise room. And I would see these people 60, 70, 80 plus years old who never missed. Mm. They came because that class, as simple as it is for a young person, someone like you or your husband, to do what they're doing in those classes, throwing a ball, sitting in a chair, throwing a ball in the air and catching it, or, you know, just moving with body weight, standing up, sitting down and stuff. Those people would light up. They would be excited for the class when they came in and like floating down the stairs on their way out. And because a lot of these people, that's all they had. And they were retired, you know, men and women, 60, 70 plus retired. What do they have to do in life really anymore, in terms of if they're not working, you know, they have free time to kind of do whatever they want. But to them, movement was like the social aspect is great too, because they got to do this class with other people. But I could see them, just the way they carried themselves, they walked taller, they smiled more, they laughed more, like it just felt good. You know, and I think that's kind of what you were getting at with bars, like when people do certain stuff. And you're going to have to tell our listeners a little bit more, like what's the difference between yoga, Pilates, bar? Like what's like, because people don't know, or they think they know, but like those movements often just with body weight, it's a certain way of moving that really opens things up, your spine, your hips, and it lights you up. It does make you, it feels like you breathe better. It feels like you walk taller, right? You look different when you do exercise like this. So talk a little bit more about what those different things are that you are doing on your YouTube channel, but just for our listeners to have an idea of like, what is the difference between those things?
Yeah. So first of all, bar is actually a blend of Pilates, bar, and yoga / stretching.
Okay.
It's, think of it like you're doing the movements to the beat of the music. It's a very fast-paced class.
Mm-hmm.
Think small movements, really small movements. Some so small you can't even see them.
Right, like almost isometric in a way, right?
Yeah.
And you're holding these positions, oftentimes standing, right? Like standing up or
at the
one
bar.
Leg.
Yeah.
Holding onto a bar. Is that where the name comes from? Because you're using
the ballet bar.
The ballet bar.
Mm-hmm.
But continue. So you're holding these movements sustained to music now. So it's kind of rhythmic in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Yeah. So when I became an instructor, it was so funny because I didn't realize how challenging it really was. I took bar classes while I was a figure skater. That's a whole other part of my story. Is I got I had a knee injury while I was skating, and a lot of the movements off ice is very high impact. And so while I was doing physical therapy, I wasn't able to do all the training on ice or off ice. And then my mom found Pure Barre, and I was too young to even take the class. I was 15 at the time. She had to get special approval. Wow. And that's when I fell in love with Barre. I was like, this is insane. I love it. I already love dance in general. I love figure skating, but it's literally ballet move. You're doing, for example, positions, you go into first position, second position, different ballet positions, but then you're doing sculpting, strengthening movements in those positions. So lots of pulses, lots of pelvic tilt. They call it tuck in Barre. So lots of tucks, circles, all the things. It's so much fun. I love it.
Wow. So that's Barre. And it doesn't require like any other equipment, so to speak, other than something to hold on to. A lot of people might just think of that Barre along the wall, right? In like a ballet room, right? And that's where you would do a majority of these exercises. But what's a good option for people if they don't have that? Can they just hold on to a back of a chair or something?
Can you do chair? Can you kitchen counter, a wall? You don't need anything to hold on to if you're feeling crazy. And you just want to do balance challenge. But yeah, that's Barre. And then Pilates, think of it, slow it down a little bit. It's all about control, a lot of balance related stuff. Breath is huge in Pilates. So focusing on breathing, that is, there's different fundamentals in Pilates. And that is one of the biggest things, is exhaling on the harder part of the move and then inhaling as it gets easier, connecting the breath to the movement. It's huge in Pilates. I would say the movement in Pilates are typically larger than in Barre. Barre, it's a lot of small, tiny movements. Pilates, it's a lot more control and slower, larger movements. Very low impact though. And a lot of times Pilates, you can do it so many different ways, but mat Pilates is usually done on the mat. So you're on the ground.
Which would look to people like yoga, right? People go, oh, well, that's yoga. Okay, well, so then what's the difference there if it's mat Pilates versus yoga? Is there a difference?
Definitely. That's a question I get all the time. And I would say yoga, it comes down to what are your goals, right? Pilates is, I would say, more about strength, balance, and control, mobility. Yoga is also about strength, but there's a lot more of stretching and restoration that comes into yoga. I think there's a lot more mindfulness in yoga.
Meditation, mindfulness,
I mean, the poses in yoga, a lot of them are rooted in Buddhist tradition. And so there's that backbone of it, where Pilates, the Joseph Pilates who made Pilates, it was created to be a rehabilitation for dancers. So there's different history behind the two.
And a real core focus too, right? On Pilates.
A lot of core.
A lot of hip specific stuff, right? Around the hips, the lower abdominals and low back and
Yoga is also a lot more isometric holds, I would say. And just you're holding the stretches for a while. I mean, there's different types of yoga too.
There are, there's yin, there's there's yang.
There's all sorts of things.
There's obviously, we've been doing yoga here. It's not really good yoga. No, the instructor's good. It's the participants. I'm talking about myself. We've actually had Coach Zach, who's a big face on our YouTube channel for years and in some of our programming, who taught us for a few years. And then Jen, another yoga instructor, who comes every week and does yoga on these blue mats right here. And we love it and we hate it, because I'm like an old, like, muscle building kind of guy. And so yoga is not easy for me, but I know I need it. Or Pilates or Barre. I benefit so much from that type of stuff, because so much of the other lifting I've done in my life. So rehab, you said, is like, that's where Pilates kind of came from, is like, it's a rehab form of exercise.
It's really gentle on your body.
And it's gentle. And that's why people are drawn to it, because they do feel better doing it, right? Like rehabilitation, while it can still be challenging and exhausting, there's something to it about, like, I know when I'm done with yoga, and which I would say our yoga is probably bordering on like more Pilates type stuff. I just feel better. I'm sometimes a little bit sleepy if she's closed with like some like some mindfulness kind of like restorative.
I've definitely fallen asleep.
I do, but my hips, like my back, everything just feels better.
Yeah,
you know, it just because it's such a contrast to compression, lifting, you know, free weights. While that stuff's great for strengthening and you know working for guys who love you know moving weight around. We really need that too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So Pilates, which is really the focus of most of what you're doing, right? Is you would classify yourself kind of mostly as a Pilates.
This is the base.
Bar,
yeah.
But it's the base. And then, so that being said, now people, I think, have more of an understanding of what those three things are, how they are different, even though there is some overlap there. Even for people that work in the fitness industry, right? If that's not their focus, they might even have a hard time making a distinction. I'm sure you've probably even come across that. It's like, I've been a personal trainer for years, but they still couldn't probably tell you the difference between the three things.
Even in the car, we were talking about it. I knew you were going to ask me the question.
Of course
I was like, okay, what's the difference? Because there's Yoga Sculpt, which is very similar to Mat Pilates. Mm. But then the thing is, Pilates, there's so many different types. You got classical Pilates versus contemporary Pilates. Classical is more rooted in what Joseph Pilates made Pilates to be. It's a lot more slow paced, rehabilitation focused, way more chill. I would use the word chill. Contemporary there's more variety to it.
Yeah.
And I personally teach contemporary Pilates. I like to blend a lot of different things together, but within that, there's machines. You can use a reformer.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Then the
tower,
reformer.
Chair.
And that's been a thing for a long time because I remember years ago, I don't know, I might be dating myself a little bit. No, but at least 15 years ago when I was, you know, still working and training people face to face, there was a woman who was coming. Her name's Darcy. She's great, Darcy Allen. She might even be listening to this episode. Who knows? Hi, Darcy. And she had her own studio, and I know she had like a reformer and stuff. And she, beautiful woman, tall, long body. You know what I mean? It's like she had the perfect body for like Pilates and stuff, you know? And that reformer thing is like super intimidating, by the way. Like, I remember
it looks like a torture device.
It does. It looks like a torture chamber device. But so that is called, and that's called what again? That form of reformer Pilates?
Reformer Pilates, okay. Yeah. But within reformer, there's classical and contemporary.
Okay. Wow.
So a lot of different types. That's where it gets confusing because people can think, there's a lot of debate about Pilates on the internet. People get kind of heated about it.
I'm sure.
I'm like, end of the day, exercise is exercise. Who cares? If you like it, just do it.
I know. But everybody takes things so like personal
or
something.
That's not Pilates.
Right.
There's a lot of different types.
Right. Well, just like there's a lot of different types of lifting weights.
Yeah.
Right? There's powerlifting. There's bodybuilding. There's strongman. There's CrossFit. Like these are all very different while you're still at strength training. All of it's strength based,
exactly.
Right? And so like the things that you're teaching and instructed and an expert in all have strength, you know, built into it and lengthening of the muscle, you know, so mobility is part of it, right? But it's also a little bit, it's just easier on the body than being under a, you know, a leg press with hundreds of pounds on it, you know, it's just a different type of thing. Oftentimes you're working against your own body weight, like body weight and calisthenics for people who aren't people listening right now who maybe aren't moving enough in their life. Start with just body weight and calisthenics.
Still really hard.
It still can be super hard. And I've seen some of the most fit, buff, ripped looking dudes who were like the guys hanging on the monkey bars doing like tricks and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's mostly what they do. They're not in the gym necessarily under lots of weight. They are challenging themselves with their own body weight, doing handstands and all kinds of crazy stuff. And they got shoulders and abs for days and back and chest muscles and everything. So it's pretty darn impressive. You can get fit just about any lane you travel in.
Totally.
If you're consistent in it, right?
Yeah, everything serves its own purpose.
Right.
And it doesn't mean you have to only do one thing.
Right.
You can do multiple different types of exercise.
Right.
I've come to the conclusion over years of trying different things, it's like you're saying, consistency is so key. If the, find the thing that sticks, find the thing you enjoy doing that challenges you. It's not, exercise isn't easy.
Right.
And then find that thing that you feel good doing while you're working out. And then the thing you feel good after you work out. And then for me, that was bar and Pilates. And I was able to stick with it consistently. Yeah. And that's where I saw the results mentally and physically.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, so some of that, let's say baggage or damage that was from your body, because I'd like to kind of just explore that topic a little bit more. From when you were younger, you had some of these body image, like issue concerns or troubles or things that were that you feelings that you had about yourself that were probably more coming from other people.
Yeah.
And that influenced like how you felt about yourself. You're not just not a switch that you're just like getting over those things. You know what I mean? That's can be kind of a, maybe a several year process. What made you kind of more accepting of your body or of those, you know, real formative years when you're hearing from people that you trusted that you just don't, you're not there yet or keep working or, you know, you gotta keep pushing.
Like, yeah.
How's that sitting with you now?
I'm not going to lie. I mean, there are still days where I struggle with body image, but I will say, and bringing the faith aspect into it, this past year, I have had so much clarity with seed planting. Those things that were said to me planted seeds in my belief system.
Yeah.
As a result, they grew into different branches and that lie was rooted and planted. And sometimes those lies, it's hard to see the truth in them because that's what we have deeply believed for a long time, but it doesn't mean they're true. Right. That's a lie about my body. The enemy trying to sit there and tell me that my body isn't enough, that it's not worthy or it's not beautiful. And so I've been recently working through where did, anytime I struggle with body image, let's say I look at myself in the mirror and I'm starting to pin myself apart or doing a workout, I'm like looking at my stomach, I'm like, oh, there's a rule there.
Right.
I'll identify that feeling as a negative emotion. And then I'll ask the Holy Spirit, show me where this first started. And then a lot of times it takes me back to, let's say, the skating years when my coach said something mean to me or something that put that idea in my mind about my body. And then a lot of times there's unforgiveness there. And then it's like, okay, I need to forgive that person. Jesus, show me compassion towards them. Show me how you saw me in the situation, how you saw them in the situation.
Yeah.
And then usually when the Lord shows me how Jesus sees me, that's when everything changes. Because I'm like, Jesus doesn't care about my weight. He doesn't care if I look this perfect mold. He made me beautiful and wonderful in his image. He designed my body the way it is. And so that has been, has given me so much more love and acceptance towards myself. And also I just had this thought too, like, I don't think it's wrong to want to work towards a different appearance or aesthetic.
Right.
But I think it comes down to how you treat yourself while you're working towards that.
Right. How you talk to yourself.
Yeah. I always say you can't hate yourself into a body that you love. I had times where I would not be taking care of myself. I would be truly not eating enough food, or I'd be doing workouts for hours a day that was not, were so hard on my body. And I would see results physically, but they were never enough.
Yeah.
I still wasn't happy. I still felt insecure. I still compared myself to other people. But the times when I haven't struggled with body image are the times when I'm listening to what God says about me and I'm not believing the lies that are racing through my mind. I'm truly speaking the truth over myself through affirmations.
Yeah.
And it has made the biggest difference.
And it's been so hard too in the past. I mean, geez, you could even go back probably more than 5 to 10 years, but the social media world that we're all a part of and live in and operate in, certainly you and your platforms and Critical Bench and our platforms, it's really easy to get into comparison mode and looking at and seeing all these other people and these people, no shirt and ripped abs and look at her glutes and, you know, and you have this standard that is almost unattainable. And then you add in like AI stuff where people are actually literally altering the way they look.
Yeah.
Or how many pictures did it take for me to look that good in that one picture, right? It was like 98 tries and like the one is, oh, that the lighting was perfect and right, the shadow fell just right.
The angle was perfect.
Right. And so that's what I like just like kind of looking through your material and your content is you can tell, like, listen, it's not what I'm about. I'm about like being real. I like it. You're like this, what is it? I'm sweating. And I know it. Like, I like it because it is, it's just more like you're trying to help people exercise, feel better. And that's, I think when you're trying to do it the right way, the side effect is I'll look better. That's the side effect, but that's not the reason I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I know it's good for me and it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And then that side, nice side benefit is, oh, and I'll burn some unwanted fat and stay firmer and, like, you know.
Truly taking care of yourself.
Yeah, it really is. It is taking care of yourself. That's that mind-body connection, right?
Not torturing yourself, taking care of yourself. Seeing our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The way the Lord made us.
That's right.
Changes things.
And doing it from a, you know, I like, because, you know, you guys are young and vibrant and, you know, good looking young couple and stuff, but you're like, you're getting things that, like, I think a lot of young people miss or will overlook.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get it maybe with years, hopefully comes some wisdom, but it's always good to learn from others, maybe mistakes or things that you're recognizing from a younger age. That's not the way it should be. Right. And you're getting it. And that's a really like really good, mature way of like seeing things. It's a really good perspective. And so it feels good as like an older man. I mean, I have to classify myself there, but it's really good to see like that kind of that next generation kind of getting it.
Yeah.
You know, because
I'm trying to fight it. I'm trying to like in the Pilates space.
Because you can be sucked into it, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there recently, like several days ago, actually, I was scrolling on Instagram trying to find inspiration, but I mean, got sucked in the spiral, you know? And I left feeling terrible about myself.
Yeah.
And comparison was so real. And in that moment, I had this little like switch in my brain. And I realized, I'm like, that's the type of content I don't want to make. Mm. That's the content that makes women feel bad about themselves and makes them feel like they're not enough. Because I know I take care of my body. I know that I'm a very healthy person. And still, watching that content, I was like, oh, I'm not doing enough. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, like my body doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
Something must be wrong. And so I'm on a mission to break that talk and that way of making a lot of clickbait workouts on social media, specifically in the Pilates space for women, because there needs to be more empowering content out there that's speaking the truth over people who just want to get healthier.
That's right. Yeah. That's what I feel that we've strived to do here as well. That's why we have men in different men and women of different backgrounds and different body types. And we can offer, you know, with our Monday live workouts and stuff and all of our other content, never mind the weird noises from outside. I don't know. We're in like an industrial area here. I've mentioned this in the past on the podcast. And when we sit in the compound, rather than like in one of the offices to podcast, we get some of these extra fun noises from the parking lot, from God knows what's happening outside. Maybe the aliens are coming. I don't know. Just weird noises. Yeah, we have an airport right next door too, by the way. You guys maybe drove right past it. I don't know. We get Coast Guard helicopters over the building. Oh, right in the middle of filming. Oh, it's a killer, especially if it's like a product. But with a podcast, we can just talk about it, which is fun. But it's such a good thing for me, I feel like, just to be part of something that I know is really helping people on the other side to hopefully feel like they are good enough and that the standard isn't like unattainable.
Mm-hmm.
The ideal is not just like, if you're a dude, you have to look like Mike O'Hearn or, you know, you have to have like, you know, you have to be a sub 10% body fat or something to be healthy. Like that actually in a lot of ways is not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really sustainable. I mean, the crabbiest, moodiest people I've ever been around in my life are people who are preparing for a bodybuilding show or a figure competitor. Like they are miserable.
Yeah.
I actually saw a dude. I mean, this is funny because we can storytell on podcasts. I saw a guy, Jamie DeFelice, a guy I worked with. This is 20 years ago. over 20 years. This is like 25 years ago. I worked up north for a world gym chain, and I had clients, and I worked at the front desk. Mm-hmm. And this guy was a Mr. Connecticut at one point. He's across from me. I'm working at the desk. He's across from me eating steak and eggs for like however many days in a row, preparing for his next bodybuilding competition. In the midst of our conversation, I see his whole character just, he's miserable, right, by the way. He's like 8 weeks in, and he has another so many weeks, and he's already won titles, and he's already like hit the kind of the top of the food chain in that world. And I saw him put his fork down. He was like over it. And he's like, dude, I'm going to get a box of donuts. You want some? I'm like, what? What did you just say? I saw him quit. Like, because he was over it.
Yeah.
He was over like the misery of this ideal that is not a sustainable thing. So what we're seeing oftentimes with the pictures and the reels and the videos and stuff, we're seeing people that actually oftentimes are pretty miserable in their everyday life, mm-hmm. but they're trying to maintain some type of look or standard to appease their audience, right? At the cost of probably their livelihood at some level, right? Because he was miserable. I mean, he was. And he had such a grin on his face, so he came back with the donuts. He's like, dude. I mean, he really was. He was like, I can finally like eat some calories and like and like just relax a little bit. And like he was just like depleted and over it.
Yeah,
and
I mean, there's no freedom in that.
No. And I'm not saying go out and just eat crap food all the time.
Yeah, there's a balance.
There's a balance there, obviously. And but it's really hard to function and to feel good and to feel at peace and to feel like joy filled, I think, when you're kind of aiming for this ideal or this standard that we think is like the, you know, is a really good goal. And it's really not a very good goal, like to try and be 8% body fat and like have an 8-pack, like, it's good for like if you're trying to get an award on a stage for a day, but in regular life, it's not even really healthy.
I think it's important to ask yourself. I mean, I don't know when this is going to drop, this episode, but I know New Year's is coming up.
Yeah, early 2024. So this is 2024 for anyone listening right now.
Yeah. But,
so New Happy Year's New just Year. Happened. New Year's has already happened.
Year. Yeah. But anyways, I think what I could say is like, it's really important to ask yourself for any goal, why am I doing this? Like truly get to the bottom, the root of the why and making sure it's a why that's a life-giving why. Because a lot of times when people go after their fitness goals, specifically in the new year, I mean, it's kind of become a stereotype at this point, the crowded gym, everyone's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to work out every single day. I'm going to do this new diet. I'm going to get my best body ever. And then fast forward 2 weeks later, they miss a day, they're sore. They miss another day. They go on a date. And
now they start, whatever. That little voice in their head starts telling them, oh, you're not doing it. You're not hitting it. You're not good enough. You missed a day.
Oh, you had that dessert after your date.
Right.
Oh, you had a glass of wine. Oh, and then before they quit.
Right. They talk themselves right out of it rather than giving themselves some grace and saying, hey, this is a new journey for me. I missed a day. I had a bad meal, whatever. Tomorrow's a new day. Hit it again tomorrow.
It's all or nothing mindset that people typically carry into the new year. And that is what makes the journey not sustainable. Mm. And that's why it's important. Ask yourself why. If it's truly about becoming a healthier version of you, treating yourself with love through it, I promise it's going to be a lot easier to stay consistent. Even when you skip a couple days or you have the meal that goes against the whatever diet you're following, if you're following a diet.
Right. And I mean, as you no doubt probably know, like, and we've talked about it in past episodes, most diets, certainly elimination style diets, are not sustainable at all. Oftentimes they're very unhealthy. The healthiest people I've ever met actually encourage you to eat carbs, where, you know, it becomes like the thing, like, don't eat carbs, you know, carbs are killers. It's like, well,
keto.
It depends on,
ruin my stomach.
It depends on what that, you know, I do think, listen, I love my steak. I love my red meats. I love that stuff. But I don't think like our bodies We're omnivores. Our bodies are not designed. We're not felines. Our bodies are not designed just to eat meat. Like, that's it. Like, no, nothing else. Like, our bodies enjoy and benefit from red meat, as they do from fruits and vegetables, right? Mm-hmm. As they do from other things, good starchy carbohydrates, like from like potatoes or from yams or things like that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me that that's ultimately not the best way to eat, is to just, you know, monitor how much crap you're putting in, processed crap you're putting in your body, and stick to whole foods as often as you can, and make protein like a goal of every meal, that you have a good amount of protein, since we can't function without it. Our brains and our muscles.
This helped me a lot, is protein. Yeah. Have you heard of the crowding out method?
Crowding out method. Ooh. Maybe I have it by a different name, but please do share.
It honestly changed my life with eating, because I used to be really big into fad diets when I was having my whole life body image struggles.
Most people are.
Yeah. I thought that was the only way. Juice cleanses. Right. And I kind of mentioned keto messed up my stomach for a bit, and it got me into intuitive eating. And then from there, I actually got holistic health coach certification, because I was really into, okay, let's learn more about food, how we should eat, all the things. I learned about crowding out method, and basically what it is, a lot of times you'll notice people say or drop the word, I'm going to cut out sugar, I'm going to cut out carbs, I'm going to cut out whatever. Psychologically, when you say cut out, think about it. If you have a kid and you tell them you can't have this brownie or this candy, what are they going to think about?
What do they want?
The candy. They're going to keep thinking about it. I want it. So when you tell yourself I can't have sugar, it's going to probably make you think more about the sugar than you would if you didn't restrict that from yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. Crowding out is basically pushing out the not so healthy thing with a healthier alternative. So for me personally, I'm a big hot chocolate girl. I love hot chocolate.
I had a hot chocolate a few nights back,
it's
actually.
So good.
My wife's like, what are you making? Like, she heard me heating like milk in and out of the, like, you know, and I'm like, and she's heard me stirring. She's like, what are you doing? It was like 9 o'clock. And I'm like, I'm making a hot cocoa. Because it was chilly out, you know, and I felt like it's, you know, it's wintery time in Florida.
Yeah.
It's, you know, once it's below 60, it might as well be, you know, 30 in Florida.
It's, yeah.
So it felt like a hot cocoa night. Anyway, I cut you off.
Oh, I love hot cocoa. Anyways, year round, I like hot chocolate. It's like my favorite. So I like Starbucks hot chocolate specifically. I think there's something about it so good. But anyways, I figured out if I make myself a hot cacao, which is I use lactate milk, 1 tablespoon of raw cacao powder, which, or cocoa powder.
Right.
And then I'll do whipped cream on top. I froth the cacao with the milk. It makes me a delicious hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Crowds out that nighttime hot chocolate with a healthier option. Thus, I don't think about the sugary hot chocolate. Mm-hmm. So essentially, it's crowding out the thing that isn't as healthy and replacing it with something that's going to benefit your body and still your mind, because it's delicious.
That's right.
That's really helped me a lot.
Yeah. No, that's really good advice. I think when you're right, when we tell ourselves something like can't have this, can't, it's like, don't go, you can't go in that room. That door's locked.
You're like,
what's
do
a
it.
Kid want to do? Like, what's behind that door?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I want to get in there. And when we do that to ourselves, when it comes to food, we are really kind of hurting ourselves. It's fine in the short term. Like, anyone can do anything for a week or 4 weeks if they're getting ready to fit into a suit or a dress for a wedding or something like that. But sustainability, what's the long-term approach? And that's actually the healthy way to get where you want to be ultimately, right? You don't want to be yo-yoing up and down. So I think that's great advice. Just crowd it out with a better, healthier option that still satisfies that desire. Mm-hmm. What I'll do sometimes too, I don't need to have a bowl of ice cream. The best way to not have ice cream is just don't buy it. Like, so I've actually found that works great. And the kids are a little bit annoyed because I have two kids. I have a 12-year-old son and an 8-year-old daughter. And like, there's no ice cream. Like, they want ice cream. I'm like, I know. Yeah, the trouble is everyone eats it. Like, mommy and daddy eat the ice cream too. So what I'll do in place of that is, like, I love like a good crunchy peanut butter with like apple, like apple wedge. It gives me that it satisfies all the same things that I want from that bowl of ice cream. Something that's a little sweet, something that's, that just, it hits my palate the right way. That's satisfying. And I don't need a whole ton of it. I just want something, but a small apple sliced up where I can dip it into some like crunchy peanut butter. That gives me just as much pleasure, if you will. And it's so much more nutrient dense.
Yeah. It's crowding out right there.
It's crowding out like crowding out 101. So no, I think anybody can benefit from that, that approach when it comes to food. And, so no, that's really good advice. So now our listeners have gotten to know you a little bit better, obviously. I want them to be able to come to you and do some of your great workouts and stuff. So share, because I know you're huge on YouTube. Talk a little bit about that. You're really big actually, on X, or no, sorry, not TikTok, right? Yeah. TikTok, you have like, I was scrolling. I'm like, whoa, she has like a really big TikTok following. And then also obviously even on Instagram. So just give everybody where they can go and get your content.
Yeah, so on YouTube, I post a lot of beginner-friendly workouts. It's a really great place to start and just try out my style, see if you like it. My YouTube channel is Callie Jardine. I might change it to Callie Gualy soon.
That's a big decision, right?
I know. I want to so bad, so bad. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's been Callie Jardine for a bit, but I might change it soon.
Are you going to go just rip the Band-Aid? And
I kind of want to.
Are you going to go hyphen Jardine Gualy?
I think I'm going to tell people just change it.
I think if you do, I think it'll probably feel weird for like a minute. And then after a few months, I think it'll be just fine.
If people search Callie Pilates, it'll show up.
That's what I mean, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So yeah, I think the thing that you're doing great there is on your channel is what our focus became last year in 2023 was to do a lot of get back to our roots. And what made us so good is the follow along workout experience, right? So people can join you. All different lengths of workouts, right? From little mini short ones, probably 5 minutes long, up to 20 minutes plus.
Yeah.
And they can do them in the comfort of their own home with little or no equipment. Mm-hmm. And they're just following you along, right? Doing these Pilates routines.
Yeah. And the YouTube, I found a lot of people who do YouTube workouts usually are pretty new to fitness. Not everyone, but a lot of people, or they have never done Pilates.
They're more beginner.
Yeah. So I have a lot of no equipment YouTube videos. And then I have an online studio, an app called Sweaty Studio. So that's where I have the longer workouts, live classes, monthly challenges, all sorts of equipment requiring workouts, tons of variety there. So that's where it's kind of like the home base.
That's home base. Yeah.
Yeah. But then Instagram is more of an overarching wellness, health and wellness, lots of balanced lifestyle, body image, things, advice, tips and tricks, faith-based stuff. The podcast is a lot of faith-based wellness. It's kind of similar to yours.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about your podcast. What's the name of it?
Healthy But Human.
Healthy But Human. I like that.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of talking body, mind, spirit stuff as well on your podcast?
Yeah. Okay. It didn't start out that way, actually. It was very much, in 2021, I was a very big party girl. I was also teaching fitness. And I realized that girl trend was going on TikTok. And I was like having major imposter syndrome. I was like, wow, like I'm really living this crazy lifestyle, but also promoting health and wellness. I feel like an imposter. And so I made Healthy Be Human because I was like, you can still hit your goals and be healthy while also having a social life, being balanced and doing all the things. But now it's transitioned because I'm not like that anymore. It's transitioned into more of an overarching faith-based wellness podcast. Mm-hmm. We still talk all the time about balance. All of the same core values have stayed the same, but I'm not being hungover.
Yeah.
All the day.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you shared that just because I think so many of us, like there's like different ways we can go, right? Once we hit like this post high school life, like this, like college age, early 20s, like there's different routes we can take. We can take the, I want the party lifestyle. I have the budget now, or I'm making my own money.
Budget.
Yeah. I have my, whatever that budget
intro
is.
Intro job.
Yeah.
I'm rich.
But I have the money to, I could go out every night if I wanted to, right? And just every day is a party after work. And oftentimes people, I think, realize after maybe a year or two or three of that lifestyle, it's like, oof, that gets old. It's like Christmas every day. Like, No, Christmas is once a year for a reason, right? It's a special day that should be like honored and prepared for and excited for and all these things. It's a celebration.
Gets old really fast.
It gets old really fast when you're just, that's your, every day is like that. You're living for the weekend. I remember that. I was, I had those years in that first half of my 20s before I kind of found what really matters, which is, you know, I met my wife. I moved to Florida when I was 26 years old and met my wife within the first month or two.
Aww.
And luckily that I think set me on a good path.
Yeah.
Where it grounded me pretty quickly because it could have gone the other way. I could have moved to Florida and become like hangout party guy.
Yeah.
Living for the weekend again.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a really good distinction. But at least you can try it and hopefully get it out of your system. Because I think people who never try it or get it out of their system, they revert back to it later in life.
Yeah.
Like once they've had kids and stuff, then they're like, I kind of didn't really live my 20s. Like I had kids out of high school and all of a sudden, like I want to party, you know, it's like, well,
yeah,
I think you missed your window. You know, you should have just done it when you could do it, get it out of your system, realize what it is. It's not everything. Yeah. It gets old. And then move on with your life.
I will say, so I went to University of Miami, which is a really big party school.
It's a party city.
It's a party city. And it's really different than most colleges because instead of going out to bars, you're going out to clubs. Yeah. And I remember one night or one weekend, I went out to the same club twice in a row. And the first night it was great. So much fun. Second night I get there and I'm looking around the room and I'm like, it's the exact same as last night. There is nothing different. It is the same people, the same thing.
Same music, same everything. I was like,
this kind of sucks. And as I went through different phases, I partying, not partying, because I've always really prioritized my health and wellness. And I've never really been a huge partier, but I'd go through phases. And I remember one time I'd just come out of a 4-year relationship in college. I was back in it again, wanting to party every night. All these different things. And I remember I kind of asked myself, I woke up one night, I went out and got blackout for the first time. It was a terrible experience. I woke up in my room, in my clothes from the night before. And I was like, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I had that thought again, several months later, had a horrible experience drinking. And I was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times, I don't want to make an assumption for everyone, but usually binge drinking or getting super drunk, blackout drunk, there might be a reason why that could be something that's maybe negative, something you're coping with. I was trying to cope with uncomfortable emotions and I wanted to numb them.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of partying, I can just say like, I still drink wine here and there, but if you're going out and going crazy, really ask yourself from a non-judgmental place, like, why do I do this?
Right.
Is this truly fun for me?
Right. Am I trying to get over something or numb myself or just something I'm not at peace with that I'm just trying to avoid, right?
Because it's a short-term solution. You're going to have long-term negative side effects.
Yeah, I've just never seen it be super productive for people to live that lifestyle. I've shared in the past, you know, I grew up in a home with a dad that was very much a functioning alcoholic, like by the book's definition of it. Every day he drank from lunchtime to the evening, had a great job. It was business for himself, had his own business, very disciplined in everything he did. He was just an alcoholic, functioning alcoholic. And it didn't benefit his temper and everything else. It didn't benefit his abusive verbal and physical abuse and stuff. But I've noticed it in other people who cling to it and they seem stuck in life when like that's like a major part of their life is like drinking. And getting together with people and drinking a lot. And it seems to hold them back from greatness, from their greatness, their potential, because maybe there is something that they're trying to, and I'm not trying to turn this episode into like a, what do they call that? When people walk into a room and it's
AA?
Like an AA, no, but like a intervention.
Intervention.
I'm not trying to turn this into like an intervention episode, you know, but, you know, again, we kind of go in all directions on the podcast oftentimes because all these things do tie together.
They really do.
And and I think if you have an addiction or something like that, that is something that you're doing routinely, that really doesn't have, like, why do people drink? Do people drink maybe one or two drinks? Well, that's different. But if you're going out all the time and you're drinking and getting drunk, then I feel like that's kind of like a next level thing.
Yeah, it's like an addiction.
Yeah.
And it goes back to even fad dieting, like an extreme of something.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah. Why are you doing it? Question yourself about that. Like, and how is that really making your life better?
Yeah, is it making it better?
Right,
yeah.
Right. And long term, what's that look like?
Yeah.
Are you going to find the love of your life in those moments? Are you going to land your great dream career in those moments, right? Are you going to make a family in those moments? Are you going to have a coming to God situation in those moments? Are you going to meet your best friend in those? Probably no to all those questions. You're really going to learn who your friends are and who cares about you, and certainly in that stuff.
True.
But we've all seen people's demise when they make that like their focus. We've seen people like not be able to come back from it. Certainly I have in my 48 years on this planet. Like, I've seen it ruin people because they made that such a like a focus. So I'm glad that you went there and shared that about your life and that you learned from that at a young age, and you found a really great guy, you know, on the other side of it. And that's not what you're living for, right? You're living for like all these other amazing things in life. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that you can't sit and have a nice glass of wine with your husband. You know, I like to have a nice beer while I'm watching football or doing yard work. I was out in the yard just last night doing like Christmas stuff still. And my daughter's out there, and I enjoyed a nice beer on a cool night doing Christmas decorations and stuff. And it felt, and it's like enjoyable because that's me. But I wasn't doing it for the like, oh, I'm going to have six more so that I'm like wasted by the end of the night. Oh,
yeah.
I had my one, and that I was very happy with that, you know? So I'm not saying, but everybody's a little different, right? Some people can't have one without having 10, you know? So it's different.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I'm definitely sharing this not to judge people, but end of the day, like, the Lord really worked even through my struggles. Mm-hmm. He's turned them into strengths. I mean, the fact that I can sit here and share this story in hopes that maybe someone who is struggling with alcohol or with loving their body, that it'll catch their attention and they'll be like, wait, there is a light to the end of the tunnel. Like, there is a way out of this. And I mean, God still will work everything for the good. And if anyone who's listening is maybe in a dark place right now and feels like, dang, like, this is really like holding me back in my life. Like, I just don't know how to keep going. Like, press into God because He is your strength and He is going to get you out of it. And He got me out of it. I found the Lord in the midst of all of this.
Wow.
That's when I came back into my faith. And even though I would wake up and I was like, had a raging headache and I was hungover and I felt like, wow, what is this life? Like, God, He was still there and right next to me. Jesus was still there. And I've come out of it a very different, stronger person. And I really feel like it's truly comes down to the Lord helped me through it. So that's my encouragement to anyone listening.
Oh, that's great. And I didn't know that necessarily about you, obviously, setting this up. It just has a way of working its way into our conversations with so many guests over the years. It was a holistic health conversation or fitness based conversation, and all of a sudden it ends up kind of going back to their faith or their walk with God. And it's pretty cool. When it's just, people can't help but share like the goodness that they've found in their life, it seems oftentimes, without sharing some about their faith.
Because fitness didn't change my life. Jesus did.
Right. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Fitness helped my life, but.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Well, I appreciate you obviously, making your way across state here and for sharing, so much about your life. And I know there's someone listening on the other side, probably more than one, that has really benefited from this and been inspired from it. And will obviously seek you out and be able to follow you and exercise with you. So I think it's great. So just so much love for that. So again, Callie Jardine, soon to be Callie Gwally, most likely, but they can find you by just probably doing Callie Pilates on YouTube.
On YouTube.
And pretty much any platform, right? What's your handle again on Instagram?
Instagram and TikTok are I'm Sweaty and I Know It.
Right.
And then my podcast is Healthy But Human and my studio is Sweaty Studio.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. All your platforms are so much fun. Somebody's probably doing a really good job helping with that. And obviously everything really looks good. User-friendly, love the colors and the energy. It's all really, really terrific. So we appreciate you. Listeners, I promised you a good one and we delivered and then some on this episode on Strong by Design. We thank you so much for coming back, for listening, for giving us ratings and reviews, and for sharing this, these episodes with someone that you care about, a friend or a family member. Please, I encourage you to share this with just one person. That really helps the show grow and reach more people. That's all we really want to do with Strong by Design. The show is currently not monetized. We don't do this for profit. We actually just do this as a ministry through Critical Bench, a way to have meaningful conversation that can help people in some way. And it helps me every time I have these conversations. It helps me. I grow. I learn about these amazing men and women that we have here. So what a blessing for me and for all of the hosts here on Strong by Design. And we look forward to talking with you again on the next episode. We're rolling 2 episodes every single week on the podcast. We are very, very busy, but we're loving it. So we'll see you next week. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.